Oh my gosh, so good. I always say this. I'm ready to go home. That's so good. But we can't because it's time for story time. If you can't see this from where you're sitting, there's a little book called Sneaky Sheep. And so props to Chris Monroe, the author. We're going to read Sneaky Sheep together. And if you have a child or a grandchild, you need to buy them this book because it is the summary of Christianity. Rocky and Blossom lived in a meadow in the mountain. I'm not going to show you all the pictures. Rocky and Blossom. They lived with 147 other sheep and a sheepdog named Murphy. Spoiler alert, the star of the show. Murphy watched over all the sheep. He made sure they all stayed in the meadow, but Blossom and Rocky did not want to stay in the meadow. We're studying Psalm 23, everyone. Do you know this? The little insets in this book are worth the price for sure. This is Rocky and Blossom saying, why do we have to stay in the meadow? Up above them, high on a mountainside, was another meadow. The grass looked plush and green, and you could see that there was probably a lot of clover up there. So Rocky and Blossom constantly asked Murphy if they could go up to the high mountain, or to the mountain to the high meadow. That meadow sure looks sweet up there. Can we go up there, Murphy? No. All the sheep in this meadow are supposed to stay here, especially you two. You see, Murphy would shake his head. He knew a few things about Rocky and Blossom. They had been known to make some bad decisions over the years. Murphy also knew there were dangers on the mountain. It wasn't a good place for two sheep by themselves. But Blossom and Rocky could not stop thinking about the other meadow. They're saying to themselves, we could just sneak off when Murphy's not looking. Let's do it. So they waited and they watched. And one day when Murphy went to get a drink from the water of a stream, zoom, off they went and they ran and they ran. Let's hide behind that rock, said Blossom, but Murphy was behind the rock. You need to stay in the meadow, Murphy said, and he took them home. Rocky and Blossom still couldn't stop thinking about the high meadow. This is my favorite part of the whole book, this little inset. Blossom says, Murphy doesn't want us to have any fun. And the other says, he's mean. So they began to sneak away every single day. Then they were incredibly sneaky. But Murphy was incredibly good at finding them. Come on now, somebody want to preach? One morning, Murphy had to help a lamb get his foot out of a gopher hole, and Blossom and Rocky made their getaway again. This time, we'll hide in the forest, they said, and they ran away as fast as they could. And the forest was dark and overgrown, and the two sneaky sheep ran for a long time. And after a while, they stopped by a huge pine tree. They walked around its large trunk, and they ran into the wolf. Rocky and Blossom were extremely startled, to say the least, and Blossom and Rocky backed away slowly, and then they turned quickly to run, but the wolf was already behind them, and the sheep realized they were on the edge of a steep cliff. They were in big trouble, in parentheses, again. One of them says to the other, well, it turns out old Murphy may have been right after all. The wolf took a step toward them. They had nowhere to run, but suddenly Murphy came out from behind nowhere and knocked the wolf down the craggy embankment. Run, he barked, and Rocky and Blossom did just that. They ran and ran as fast as they could back to their meadow. Murphy followed close behind, and once again, Murphy told them, you need to stay in this meadow. And that is what they did for a while. And the book ends with Rocky saying, that meadow up there sure looks nice. That's the end of the book. Everything you need to know about the human condition is right here. Sneaky sheep, isn't that good? Thank you, Chris Monroe. Great book. I don't know who Chris Monroe is, but he is very near the kingdom of God. You guys were talking about the Lord being our shepherd And my sermon today is about this idea that we have freedom because of the shepherd to live in peace. We have freedom to live in peace because it is where and with whom we were designed to live. And that is a freedom to do that. I want to look at the psalm again. This is the first couple verses. We're now in verse 2 of Psalm 23 and the beginning of verse 3. And here's the text. Do you want to read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. That's the part that both neither Ben nor I could memorize last week. If you were here, we were trying to say it out loud, and both of us kept getting it messed up. But man, these three phrases are so powerful that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. Because apparently, the presence of the shepherd, apparently the faithfulness of the shepherd, Murphy the sheepdog, apparently the presence and the faithfulness of the shepherd will create the circumstances for us to be free to experience rest and peace. Do I need to say that again? Apparently, only the presence and faithfulness of the shepherd can create the circumstances for us to be free to experience rest and peace. And I'm here to tell you, church, that that is the only place that it can be found, is under the care and the presence of the shepherd. As sneaky a sheep as we are, as much as we go, that looks good over there, I bet there's some clover in that field, let's go. The shepherd creates the circumstances through his presence to let us rest, the freedom to experience rest and peace. We gave away this little book to a number of you, to 350 of you, and if you followed along this week, it is gold. It's so good. But this idea of the shepherd, the presence of the shepherd creating that freedom to experience rest and peace, he says this in the chapter on he makes me lie down in green pastures. One day a friend came to call on us from the city. She had a tiny Pekingese pup along, and as she opened the car door, the pup jumped out on the grass. One glimpse of the unexpected little dog was enough. In terror, 200 of my sheep, which were resting nearby, leaped up and rushed off across the pasture. As long as there's even the slightest suspicion of danger from dogs, coyotes, cougars, bears, and other enemies, the sheep stand up ready to flee for their lives. They have little or no means of self-defense. They are helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only recourse is to run. That is not rest and peace. But he goes on to say, he goes on to say this. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. This is the shepherd writing this. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. And this applied day and night. There was one summer when the sheep rustling was a common occurrence in our district. And night after night, the dog and I were out under the stars keeping watch over the flock by night, ready to defend them from the raids of any raiders, rustlers. The news of my diligence spread among the grapevine of our backcountry roads, and the rustlers quickly decided to leave us alone and try their tactics elsewhere. He makes me lie down, from the psalm. In the Christian's life, there is no substitute for the keen awareness that my shepherd is nearby. There is nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear, the panic, and the terror of the unknown. This is it. This is the summary of this sermon, of this section of the beginning. And that is that we have this freedom because of the presence and the faithfulness, the strength and the wisdom of the shepherd himself. We have the freedom to be able to lie down, to find rest, and to find peace. Let's look at each one of these sections and do a little Bible study as we go through. The first section is this idea that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures is the first point. Now, I've got a translation underneath it that comes from studying the language and the intention of it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I didn't have a better picture of sheep than these sweet dogs just out. Is that good? Just the freedom and the rest in green pastures. But look at the following sentence that I have there. The text says from Psalm 23, makes me lie down in green pastures. This is what it really means. It is his intention to cause me to lie down in grassy habitations. This is a very literal translation of the Hebrew. It is his intention. This is why the language uses he makes me. When you read the text, he makes me lie down. That's like, lie down, lie down. Do you have a dog that you have to just yell at all the time? By the way, if you have a dog that you're constantly yelling at, you have failed. As that dog shepherd. Because if you've trained that dog knows that whatever it is it wants, whatever it is it's chasing after, it will be given to it in time, all the attention, love it needs, treats, right? Ducks, whatever it needs, you will give it to them and it will lie down in calmness. Some of you are so convicted right now, you're like, that's the hardest sermon I've ever heard, that my dog's out of control. But the shepherd goes, so we hear the word, he makes me lie down, right? The text says he makes me lie down. We're like, okay, like sit down, sit, lie down. That's not what it means. It's he, his makes me is, it is his intention. This is what he wants for me. He is wanting me to be able to lie down. That's the whole point, is that he wants me to live in rest and peace. And again, from the book, sheep, unless all the circumstances are just right, sheep are not gonna lie down. They're gonna be alert and ready to run and anxious and standing up. But makes me is that this is what he wants for us, and he allows it by his character. Some translations say he lets me lie down. In other words, but it really is makes me. He's like, look at, this is what I want for you. Don't settle for standing up, being on alert, taking care of yourself. I want you to be able to lie down and rest. And laying down doesn't come easily to us sheep. We have to know that we're good, but more importantly, we have to know that he's good. So we can be at rest and have peace. And the book reminds us, by the way, he says, you know, grassy places, especially where David wrote from in the Judean desert, grassy places don't come easy. It's not like they were all over the place. And the shepherd's like, here's one. It was the shepherd's hard work to actually cultivate green, grassy, restful places where they could eat and be nourished and be taken care of. Otherwise, have you ever seen pictures of the Middle East? Have you ever seen pictures of the Judean desert? There's no grassy places. The shepherd designed it, irrigated it, planted it, cultivated it, weeded it for the sheep to have what they needed. Come on, will that not preach? And sheep are stupid. We're not that stupid. But part of knowing, like, he created this for me. It's based on the presence and the faithfulness of the shepherd that we can then lie down at peace. The other thing I see in the text when I look at it, that he makes me lie down in green pastures, is the green pasture part, I use the translation, the grassy habitations, because that's what it means. He's actually making a place for me to live. Now, this is super important. Don't miss this, church. Because of who he is and what he's cultivated for us and his goodness and his protection and his presence, he's allowing us to live there. It's a habitation. It's not a place that we visit. It's not a vacation. It's not a reward for hard work. One of our staff people told me as we were studying this text a little bit together as a staff this week, this is not a reward for hard work. This is actually a place to dwell. This is where we live, this grassy place, this place of abundance, this place of our needs being met, this place of rest and peace. Can you imagine rest and peace as a way of life? Come on now. not a moment that gets visited to you in a constant life of stress and anxiety and high alert and running and standing and not resting. And then every once in a while, you're like, oh, that song ministered to me. And so 5 minutes out of one worship service, out of 1 hour in 1 week, and 1 week that we came and we missed church for 3 other weeks, like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a shepherd who says, I will lead you to a place where you will dwell in rest and in peace. Come on now, church. This is the promise of Jesus. John 14:7, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. This is what Jesus said. He left his disciples and he's like, I'm gonna give you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That is a promise. That is not a rebuke. That is not a, there's something wrong with you because you're experiencing anxiety. This is an invitation to figure out how in the world can I experience that, because that's what where he promised I would live. Now, some of us, I know, are more oriented toward anxiety, toward restlessness, toward standing at alert. Some of us are more oriented toward that than others. And so it's a little bit of a harder battle, or a lot of a harder battle, for those of us that are inclined that way. And by the way, some of our neural pathways have been grooved. I'm talking to you students, right? That the things that we look at and the things that we rehearse, why am I talking to students? Those of you that are just constantly scrolling, we've developed neural pathways that have created our anxiety. So we got a ways to go here, friends, but the promise of God is that we would dwell in places of rest and peace, and that freedom comes from who God is, from who the shepherd is. Church, this is the rescue of the condition of our time. I'm not minimizing our anxiety. I'm not minimizing our lack of rest. I'm not minimizing our worry. I'm not minimizing any of that. But I'm telling you, the scriptures are promising, from the Old Testament to Jesus' words himself, that this is the rescue, that in living with the shepherd, we have the freedom to live in rest and peace. Now, as we end our sermon this morning, we're going to end up talking about, like, well, then what do I do about that? But I'm here to tell you that's what the word teaches, and there is hope for that kind of a life. It is the grassy places that will be our habitations. It is where we will live. And by the way, and I'm always super hesitant, by the way. I've read it in preaching books. I should probably tell you more about my own story and my own life, but I'm always super hesitant because I know my passionate personality. I know all that stuff, and I'm afraid that people are gonna be like, well, that's him. He's a pastor, and he's a weirdo too, so I don't get him. But I'm telling you, as a normal human, and we could pass a microphone around this room, Jesus has brought peace that surpasses understanding. And it is the only thing that does. And in getting to know the truth of the Word of God, the character of the shepherd, the faithfulness of God, rehearsing that in a life of worship and being in the Word, and some of us having to take some good medication, real honestly, and walking in fellowship and rehearsing truth over and over again, and coming back to his goodness and rehearsing, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not need anything, and he will make me lie down in green pastures. Everything I need is here. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. When we worship and lean into the presence of God, he will come through and heal us and give us freedom and peace to rest. I don't want us to tell you, except this is, this is it. I'm 63 years old. That's all I have for you. Jesus is the answer to the condition of our age. So that's the promise. Oh, and another, by the way, there's no way I'm going to finish on time. Okay. Another, by the way, when you begin, and so nobody mishear me. I did not say today you're free. You're never going to experience anxiety. You heard that, right? Especially some of us that have really developed our neural pathways, some of us that have inherited a predilection toward that, some of us, and again, I wasn't making a joke. I'm all about the meds that may help us get over that hump. I mean, or be on it for life or whatever. Like, that's all good. But and so it's going to come and go. But I'm telling you that the peace of Christ can come as we trust the shepherd. And when we, this is what I was going to say as the aside, when we live in the peace and the rest of the good shepherd, it is fragrant to everybody that we come into contact with. This is the gift that you have to give to your people. Not that you're perfect all the time, not that you never worry, not that you never freak out, not that you never lose your temper, all right? But that you are in the process of more and more coming under the guidance and the care and the presence of the good shepherd who gives us freedom to live and rest in peace. When you live like that, everything around you flourishes. Everyone around you flourishes. This is the gift you have for all your people. This is the gift you have for your children and your grandchildren, that you are a person who is grounded in the presence of God, who is good and who provides grassy places for you to lie down in. This is the gift that you have if you're in a relationship with somebody, with your spouse or with a partner or with a date. This is the gift you have, that you are somebody who is anchored in this truth. This is the gift that you have to your workplace. This is the gift you have to your small groups. This is the gift you have to your brothers and sisters in Christ, that when you show up, you're like, he is a good shepherd and he gives us freedom to find rest and peace. We will stink so well. And if this is the answer to the condition of our age, and what do we have to offer to the world? Everybody who's not in this room or in another church room right now, they're longing for an answer to where they can find rest and peace. And they were created to find it in a relationship with the shepherd. He allows me, he makes me, it's his intention that I would lie down in grassy places and live there. Man. I just want to say amen to that again. Second point, second phrase in the scripture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. A literal translation of this is, he will guide me. That's the leading part. He's going to guide me. He's actually going to go here, over here, over here. Not there, over here. No, not that way, this way. He's going to guide me to a watering place near resting waters. He's going to guide me to a place, in other words, that if I follow, I'm going to find the water that I'm able to access and that will bring me life that I need. Let me say that again. In other words, if he's going to lead me to living water, or if he's going to lead me to water, to quiet waters, it's that he's going to guide me. He's going to be like, listen, follow me. If I follow him, I'm going to find water that I'm able to access. Everybody here can access this peace and rest of Christ we're talking about. This isn't like, you know what, if you take my seminar and you buy all the levels, or if you get smart enough and after 40 years, this is the spirit that is offered to all those who put their faith in him. That's what water is, right? That's what you see water in scripture, think Holy Spirit. But he leads me beside quiet water. So if I follow him, I'm going to find water that I'm going to be able to access, and it's going to bring me the life that I need. We sheep are all thirsty. And sheep, if they're thirsty and they aren't led to clean supplies of water, will grow so restless, they're still thirsty. They're so restless, if they're not led to clean supplies of water, what will they do? They will drink out of every muddy pothole, feces-laden muck that comes their way because they're desperate for something. And that is us. And that is the world. But the Lord's like, no, I'm actually going to guide you. So you guys, it's just so not rocket science. Like, so then I'm going to get behind my shepherd and let him guide me there. Because that's accessible, clean, pure water that will give me the life that I need. And I don't have to be snorting around for a mud puddle, for a crumb, for a glimpse of life. But it's what he provides. I got to read you this. Another section, two different sections in this book. The difficulty in all this is that men and women who are thirsty for God That is, who have a deep inner sense of searching and seeking, who are in quest of that which will completely satisfy, often are unsure of where to look or really what they are looking for. Their inner spiritual capacity for God and divine life is desiccated, and in their dilemma, they will drink from any dirty pool to try to satisfy their thirst for fulfillment. People who are hungry for God are going to look for it. And if they don't know what they're looking for, or if nobody's telling them where they can find it, or if they're not under the shepherd who's going to lead it to them, they'll drink from anywhere. And they'll try to find life anywhere. He says, this reminds me very much of a bunch of sheep I watched one day that were being led down to a magnificent mountain stream. The snow-fed waters were flowing pure and clear and crystal clean between lovely banks of trees, but on the way, several stubborn ewes and their lambs stopped instead to drink from a small, dirty, muddy pool beside the trail. The water was filthy and polluted, not only with the churned up mud and the passing sheep, but even with the manure and urine of previous flocks that had passed their way, still these stubborn sheep were quite sure it was the best drink obtainable. The water itself was filthy and unfit for them, and much more, it was obviously contaminated with nematodes and liver fluke eggs that would eventually riddle them with internal parasites and diseases of destructive impact. This pastor preaches. Jeremiah chapter 2. I don't have the text on the screen, but God says through the prophet there, he goes, this is my greatest heartbreak, that my people have forsaken the source of living water, me, and they've built their own cisterns. And those cisterns can't even hold water. They're leaking desperately. But the way is to get behind the shepherd and follow him. And he will do this as a matter of course. The verb is a future tense. You will find, he will be leading you beside quiet waters. He will allow you to access it. He will bring life through it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. And we will find what we need in him. Ultimately, you guys, this is what Jesus promised. This is what how Jesus is pictured in the heavenly realms from Revelation chapter 7. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. That was the first image, right? He's our shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. That's how Jesus is described in the heavenlies. So David says, he, God, will lead me beside quiet waters. He knows alone. He knows where it's found. He will guide us there. Without that guide, we won't know where to find it. Last, and he refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. The translation of this, he refreshes my soul, is that he will be returning me. That's what the word it means in Hebrew, this refresh. He's returning me. He's bringing me back. And my soul is the real authentic me. So he will be returning me, the real authentic me, back again to a fresh start. That's what refreshes mean, or restores. He restores my soul, the King James says, right? This is about him saying that no matter then what happens, he will keep coming back and taking me to where I really need to be. He'll be coming back and meeting the real me and starting again and being like, that's not you. That muddy hole is not you. That's not your destiny. That meadow, that's not where you belong. This here. I know it looks like there's more clover, but it's here. He will keep coming back and keep restoring us and keep bringing back. I love the page in the Sneaky Sheep book that said that they were incredibly good at sneaking off and Murphy was incredibly good at finding them. This is the passage that Jesus talks about, and we mentioned it 2 weeks ago, I think, you know, if a shepherd loses one out of 100 sheep, doesn't he go off after him to find him? And common sense says, no, that's a terrible plan. But that's what Jesus does. That's what the shepherd does. He keeps restoring us. The book uses this amazing analogy of a sheep being cast. I know nothing about sheep. Again, I'm an Oakland boy. But that sheep would actually lay down, turn over, and get like a turtle, like get stuck upside down and would die. And the shepherd goes out to find sheep that are cast, that are stuck. And he goes and he says, this is the image that the psalmist is trying to bring, that he would then restore them. That actually the shepherd would have to go out and find the sheep. And sometimes you would find them by seeing buzzards circling because they're like, oh, this guy's not going to last. And he would go out and he would find the sheep and he would turn it over, get it on its feet, massage its legs to get blood flow back in and rescue the sheep's life. He restores us from our own poor choices, from our own inabilities, from our own being lost, from the circumstances that I laid down in the wrong place and just got stuck. And he'll come and rescue us. And the soul is the deepest me. In other words, he'll keep bringing us back to who we really are. And he'll keep rebooting and starting again and giving us fresh starts. Don't miss this. Lamentations chapter 3. I have been deprived of peace. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. He went through some hard things. You can go read that in your study Bible. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. This is a person who got lost. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, my bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. Come on now, this is somebody who's been lost. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so I say to myself, the Lord, God, he's my portion. He's my reward. He's my prize. He's my treasure. He's the thing of greatest value. Therefore, I will wait for him. Band, why don't you guys come out so that we can wrap this up in worship and toward our conclusion. Don't miss that. Don't miss that text. Great is his faithfulness. To come and take the real you and restore you when you've gotten stuck and lost or been sneaky and run off to another meadow. Murphy is extremely good at finding you. So where does this leave us? Where does this leave us? Being able to lie down in green pastures, led to water that brings life, being refreshed and restored when we're lost, all of this depends on the presence and faithfulness of the shepherd. None of that is available if we're not going to get behind the shepherd. If he's my shepherd, then I lack nothing, Ben's sermon last week. And if I lack nothing, right? Then I'm going to allow him to lead me to grassy places to live, to clean water that brings life. And I'm going to let him keep coming and finding me when I get stuck and lost. I think the takeaway, friends, do you need to give your life to the shepherd today? Are you his? The Lord is my shepherd. Is that true for you? Whether you've been a Christian for your whole life, are you behind the shepherd and letting him lead you and give you the freedom to live in rest and peace? Or whether this is new and fresh to you, are you ready to give your life to trusting the shepherd to lead you to where life is supposed to be found? The song that we've been singing this whole series called Good Plans is based on Psalm 23. I hope you see the words fresh again as we respond in worship. But it's saying, like, you have good plans for me. I'm going to get behind you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to figure out how to do that. So let's stand together and respond in worship.